Sherman taking a look, a long look. Finally got it, stolen by Brockington. Jumper good. Isaiah Brockington, the steal and bucket. Cyclones by one, 21 seconds.
And Iowa State with an exciting win last night in Big 12 men's basketball action, slipping by West Virginia 84-81. Big steal and bucket there by Brockington, who was the co-Big 12 player of the week last week with KU's Ochai Agbaji. Texas wins last night over TCU 75-66. We'll preview the big showdown in Waco coming up on Saturday, which you can hear on Z96.3 The Lake, as Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, will be with us to talk about KU at Baylor. But we begin with local sports. And wrong button there. Local sports. Yeah, you're a GM out, you bet. We just filter in the music, change it up here on a Thursday, see if anybody's paying attention. Let's start with basketball substates, where the 2A and 3A brackets were released. We had the 1A brackets already, but now 2A and 3A released yesterday.
Yes, I actually don't have 2A and 3A right in front of me, but we can tell you that Beloit is in 3A substate with the Minneapolis substate. The boys are at home against Riley County coming up on Monday night at 7 o'clock, and then the girls will be on the road at Council Grove 6 o'clock on Tuesday. So you can hear both of those games on our stations. Again, Class 3A for Beloit. Smith Center girls Monday night are hosting Plainville at 7 o'clock, and then the Smith Center boys in Class 2A will be at Hill City on Tuesday. So we can tell you the matchups for at least our area teams. I did have that, and you can find all those brackets, the full brackets for those substates. Smith Center's in the Plainville 2A substate. Again, Beloit is in the Minneapolis 3A substate, and you can find all those brackets posted online at ntksports.com for all the substates from Class 1A now through 3A. 4A will be released here this weekend as well. So we'll have all that posted there right at ntksports.com for the area teams.
All right, we have locker room chats tonight.
Yeah, tonight we'll talk with the coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas, beginning around 5:15, maybe a little bit ahead of that here this evening. And then you can also listen to those online at katycountry94.com as well. So stay tuned for that. We'll preview a lot of the games that are coming up for the 1A boys coming up tonight.
Yeah, and substate basketball time we have on the radio.
Yeah, we'll lead after our locker room chats. We'll go right into the Lakeside Knights and the Oberlin Decatur Community Red Devils in the first round of the 1A Division I substate. This is the Sylvan Lucas substate. Again, first round games are at the higher seeds. We'll have pregame coverage, again, right after the locker room chats, hopefully around 5:50, and then we'll have a tip-off at 6 o'clock here tonight between Lakeside and Decatur Community. And we're looking forward to that contest. Knights coming in at 15-5. Decatur Community is 0-20. So Lakeside definitely a favorite to possibly get a rematch. Sylvan Lucas has the number 2 seed, so the winner of this game will play Sylvan Lucas next week. And then on the top of this bracket, the game is actually tomorrow night between Rollins County and Victoria, and the other actual game that's taking place. But Osborne boys are the number 1 seed and have a first-round bye as well here in this Sylvan Lucas substate. So that's what's coming up here on the radio tonight.
Well, let's hear from Drew Dusky on his team and about focusing. Everybody's even Steven now.
You can't look at anybody's record at this time of the year. You know, substate started, and, you know, everybody's back to 0-0. So we just got to go with the mindset of playing good basketball like we have all year. Hopefully we can get out in transition and put some pressure on them, and hopefully that will create some, you know, transition points and easy baskets, and just lock down on D and make sure we contest all their shooters, and we're doing a good job defensively boxing out and rebounding.
Once again, that'll be tonight about 5:50 with pregame Lakeside hosting Oberlin Decatur Community in the first round at 1A Division I Boys Substate right here on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. And as we mentioned, Lakeside at Oberlin will be tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, 5:50 pregame on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. As Dusty mentioned, we'll have Beloit Riley County Boys Monday at 7 o'clock and Tuesday Beloit Girls at Council Grove at 6 o'clock. And our full schedule posted at ncksports.com. Other games around the area here tonight?
Yeah, 1A Division I substate hosted by Clifton Clyde for the semis and finals. The 4th-seeded Lincoln Leopards are at home tonight as the higher seed against 5th-seeded Rock Hills and Lincoln. That's at 7 o'clock in the first round. The winner will move on to play the host school and number 1 seed Clifton Clyde next Thursday. Solomon's the number 2 seed in the bracket with the first round bye, and then Washington County Blue Valley Randolph on the bottom of that bracket in Washington. Randolph tonight at 7 o'clock. Other first-round games tonight at 7 in 1A Division 2 boys. St. John's Tipton Blue Jays are hosting Sub-State with the semis and finals in Beloit High next week. Tonight, the Blue Jay team is in their own gym at St. John's, number 4 seed. They'll face number 5 seed Pike Valley. First round at 7 o'clock again. Winner will move on to face number 1 seed Northern Valley next Thursday at Beloit High. Logan Palco has the number 2 seed, and they'll face the winner of Natoma Thunder Ridge. That Natoma Thunder Ridge game is tomorrow night in Kensington in this 1A Division 2 boys sub-state. Other 1A D2 first round sub-state games for NPL teams. Southern Cloud is at Wakefield in boys action. Chase is at Cunningham, and Tescott is hosting Central Plains. All of those games tip off at 7 o'clock this evening. Again, for all of the sub-state brackets, including 3A and 2A, which were released yesterday, as we mentioned, some of the matchups for our area teams there, you can visit ncksports.com. Also, check out ncksports.com. We have our newest athlete of the week, and that is Wyatt Brockelman, the Bullet Jr. He's been named the Cunningham Telephone and Cable ncksports.com athlete of the week. Brockelman exploded offensively the last two games in helping lead the Bullet Trojans basketball team to two wins over Minneapolis and Smith Center. Bullet 64-52 home win over Minneapolis Friday. Brockelman nearly unstoppable. He finished with a career-high 38 points, 12 of 16 from the floor, 6 of 8 from three-point land, and 8 of 11 from the free-throw line. Added 3 rebounds, 3 steals in that win as well. Tuesday, Bullet won 76-29 at Smith Center, and Brockelman strong again, finishing with 17 points, 6 of 9 shooting, and 5 of 6 from beyond the three-point arc. Had an even more balanced game with 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 steals in the win. Brockelman combined for 55 points, 18 of 25 from the floor, and 11 of 14 on three-pointers in those two games here this past week. On the season, he's actually now Bullet's leading scorer by about a tenth of a point, but he's at 11.7 a game right now is where he is, and also averaging 2.5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals a game for the 14-6 Trojans, shooting 42% from the floor, 39% from 3, and 73% from the free throw line. Wyatt Brockelman, again, our ncksports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. So congratulations to him, and if you have any nominations, you can always get those to us. We will announce a winner each week, and you can nominate an athlete from any school sport.
He's been a little bit hot.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
He made it pretty easy for me this week, you know?
Yeah, it was. 11 of 14 from 3, and what was 18 of 25 overall? That's 72%.
Yeah.
That's blistering hot, and that's a course of two games, not just one night. Last year, he had a huge game, career-high 23. Very next game, goose egg.
Mm-hmm.
This year, and that shows development, he's a junior now.
Yeah.
38 points. Next night, no problem, 17, and didn't even play the fourth quarter. He has 11 three-pointers in the course of the last seven quarters. 11 three-pointers over the last seven quarters because he didn't play against Missouri in the fourth quarter because they're up by so many. 5 threes in three quarters, and he had 6 threes against Minneapolis last week. And making free throws, making drives to the bucket. And I mean, he's playing really good, and he's in a zone. And if you're Beloit, you got to hope he keeps that staying in the zone all the way the rest of the season.
Yeah. When you find it, it's great, man.
Oh yeah,
I never found it in a game quite like that.
It feels awesome. Let me tell you,
I found it, but not like
that.
They didn't, you know, people didn't get me the ball the whole every time down the floor and understand that I had found it.
Mm-hmm. Right,
but I've never found it to the tune of 30 or more points.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a game when we played Hill City, and Coach Riley was head coach then, and he still is now.
Yep.
And that was a game where my parents are out of town for some kind of board meeting trip or something, and so my grandpa, who passed away about a year and a half ago, he was the only one there for my family to watch, and he was good luck, and that was my career high. I had 34 in that game.
Mm-hmm.
But I had 24 in the first half, and had 6 threes in the first half. And, I mean, everything I put up, I was in a zone. I mean, that basket seemed big, and it felt great. And then the second half, they would make adjustments. They did. I scored 10 more in the second half, and so I just passed the ball because they would throw two guys at me. I passed the ball to Jared Brown. Jared Brown, all he did was make 4 threes in the second half. And they're like, seriously, it doesn't matter who we guard. Trigo's making threes tonight, and we were that night. We didn't make them, you know, all season long, but that felt good. And then I was able to carry that over my next game. I scored 33 my next game. My two highest scoring games of my career were back-to-back games, and that was my junior year. Next game, I had 33, which seems awesome, but I went to the line. I think it was like 14 of 15 from the foul line. Mm-hmm. So I got a lot of points at the line to seal the game. So it added to my point total. See, I've always loved the great thing about being a really good foul shooter. And this is the one thing I could do when I played ball. I could shoot. I could shoot threes. I could shoot free throws. I wasn't the greatest defender. Coach Griffith would agree with that. I wasn't the most athletic person. I didn't jump out of the gym. I couldn't even, you know, I think I grabbed the rim maybe twice in my life. I couldn't dunk a tennis ball. I just didn't have the ups. I had the credit card ups, as they say, so forth and so on. But I could shoot. And I love the fact that, yeah, let's be honest, you're going to be a little bit selfish, but it helps your team, is that you're a really good foul shooter. And then when you have a lead and they foul, you want the ball in your hands. You want them to foul because you're like, dude, one, I'm helping my team win. Two, I just add to my point total and add to my scoring average, and it looks even more impressive. And the game I had against Hill City was way better shooting-wise, you know, because I made a lot of threes. And then the Quinter game was a lot of free throws and made some threes or whatever. But that's a situation where one game led to another where I had two good games back-to-back. I have no idea what happened the third game. I probably was like 2 of 15. Yeah. And went ice cold. But, you know, Wyatt's kind of in that zone, and it does feel good to be in that zone. And whether you could be in a zone for a month or you be in zone for a week, whether you're in zone, you're usually not going to be in a zone for a year, obviously. Yeah. I'll tell you guys in a zone, DeMar DeRozan, the Chicago Bulls. Dear Lord, that guy's shooting 60% from the floor and scoring 30 to 40 points every night. That guy's been in a zone for like 3 weeks. That's an amazing zone to be in, and you better enjoy it as long as you can, because it can be fleeting. It can be one game. It could be one quarter. It can be a half, and you go inside and you cool down. And then you, like, how about Carson Cox? Remember that state title game against Girard a few years ago? Couldn't miss first half. And then worst thing that happened to Beloit in that game and for Carson Cox was, well, went to locker room. He cooled down a little bit, and then they adjust their defense, Girard did. And second half, you switch ends of the floor. Maybe the rim's a little tighter than the other end. Who knows? Or it's just different depth perception. Who knows? You lose your mojo. So you can be in the zone for a quarter, two quarters, a whole game, two games, a week, 2 weeks, a month. But usually you're not in a zone for longer than a month. Yeah. That would be awesome, being in a zone for a month. But it is pretty cool to be in the zone. And let me tell you something, Wyatt Brockman, he's in the zone right now.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Pretty cool stuff. So Athlete of the Week is posted there online. K-State and KU women, they lose at home to ranked teams last night. K-State gets down early and never did recover, as they fall to Texas 62-51. K-State women now 18-9, 8-7 in the Big 12. And KU had a great opportunity last night. They had a chance to tie for the lead in the Big 12, possibly. But they host number 9 Iowa State. And, of course, Central Plains is Emily Ryan, big night again. She had 11 assists, and I think it was 10 points. And KU gets rolled by number 9 Iowa State in Allen Fieldhouse, 85-59. So the Jayhawk women are now 19-6, 10-5 in the Big 12. It was a college basketball game last night. It was pretty exciting. Went triple overtime. Number 11 Providence outlasted Xavier 99-92. There was a stoppage of the game due to a leak from the roof, but they were able to fix that or patch it up, whatever they had to do, and then they proceeded from there. News being reported by Diana Russini from ESPN that Aaron Rodgers will be informing the Packers of his decision soon, per league sources. Russini says, I'm told there are multiple teams with offers on the table, but of course nothing can happen until the Packers agree to trading Aaron Rodgers to another squad. So apparently offers are out there. Of course there will be. Why wouldn't there be? For the two-time reigning MVP, of course. I would imagine I would think there's all kinds of teams that'd be interested in Aaron Rodgers. Listen, I think the San Francisco 49ers should be interested. I don't think the Packers are going to trade to the 49ers. I think the Packers are going to want to trade to the AFC, and the team that keeps popping up, according to many, is Denver. Tennessee is another one that they say they're out. They're not involved. I'll believe it when I see it. If I'm Tennessee, I go after Aaron Rodgers. I got a window. Tannehill's not my guy. He's a little bit like Alex Smith. Except I think Smith was better than Tannehill. And, of course, you got a lot of money tied up in Tannehill. That's the problem. But you put Aaron Rodgers at Tennessee with A.J. Brown, and you have Derrick Henry in a great running game, and you got pretty good defense. That would be that'd be ideal, I think, for Tennessee. Where else could he go? Indianapolis, they don't want Carson Wentz. They're a team that should have been in the playoffs. Yeah. That would be one, and you'd be in a dome. You wouldn't have to play in the cold all the time. Denver would make some sense, except that you'd have a good defense. You have some younger receivers. And the question is, will Devontae Adams go wherever Aaron Rodgers goes? A lot of people think it's a package deal. He's one of the best receivers in football. He's a free agent. But do you want to be with Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes in the same division? That's pretty difficult. So anyway, and my son last night says, listen, Dad, here's what I think is going to happen. He goes, I think Trey Lance isn't ready in San Francisco. They're going to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. Tom Brady is going to come out of retirement, sign with the Niners for 1 year, and win the Super Bowl. That's his prediction. I said, dude, I think it's plausible.
It is. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, Tom Brady's not under contract, I do not believe. So I would have to check that, double check that. I don't think he's under contract. I may be wrong on that. Let me see here. I don't want to say something that's wrong when it comes to that. Yeah, it was a 1-year deal. So he could go wherever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
How about San Francisco? I like what I saw Brady put on Twitter. I'm starting to like Brady more and more now that he's retired. I think a lot of people were feeling that way.
We'll start feeling that way as the years go by, for sure.
Yeah.
Like,
but he's had some pretty good tweets over the last year or two. And his younger teammates on Tampa Bay, they did a feature on ESPN about that. And they said, dude, he's still pretty hip when it comes to that stuff. He put out there on Twitter, he goes, something to the effect, I don't have it word for word, but he said something to the effect of, let me see if I can find it, because I want to quote him right. Come on now. Tom Brady. Come on, load. Well, he had one recently where when Matthew Stafford was celebrating Super Bowl, he put, mix in a water, yeah. Matt, trust me, because he got a little hammered after they won last year. And then let's see here. I want to pull it up. I want to have it word for word here. Yeah, there we go. So he says, Tom Brady on Twitter, my days of leaving dishes in the sink are numbered. Well, his supermodel wife, Giselle, showed a whole bunch of video where she is basically beating up a guy because it's mixed martial arts or whatever. And she says, I believe the more tools we have in our toolbox, the better. I feel stronger, more confident, and empowered since I started practicing self-defense. I feel it's an important skill for all, but specifically, especially for us women. And Brady sees that video. He's like, okay, I'm not going to leave the dishes in the sink. I'm going to get my butt kicked by my wife, Giselle. I thought that was pretty funny. So I think Brady's enjoying retirement so far, but I still think he's I'm with my oldest son. I think he's going to play next year. I'm not convinced he's done. I'm not.
Yeah.
You think he's done?
I'm not. I don't know. I don't have like a strong feeling either way.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say he won't play next year.
Yeah, I don't know. You sit out a year at the age of 44 going into 45, then you're probably less likely to come back after sitting out a year.
Yeah.
That's the problem in that situation. Yeah, if I were a betting man, I'd say he's back. What teams need a quarterback? Let's just talk with Aaron Rodgers for a second. The Bills are good. The Patriots are good. The Dolphins, you know, that's something Aaron Rodgers can consider, but that'd be a new head coach.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of problems there with the Dolphins and the ownership and the lawsuit against the Dolphins. I don't think he's going there. The Jets have a young quarterback. I don't think they're going to do anything, although that'd be a big splash. Bengals are good. Well, the Steelers would make some sense. I mean, the Steelers need a quarterback, but I've been hearing that the Steelers aren't willing to pay the price for Aaron Rodgers at the age of 38. The Browns are going with Baker. The Ravens have Lamar. Tennessee, we talked about. The Colts, we talked about. Houston, Deshaun Watson will be traded. Some people say Denver should get Deshaun Watson. That's what they talked about last year. He's still got the legal issues. Jacksonville, you got Trevor Lawrence. So probably not there. I don't know. Aaron Rodgers go to the Raiders, and the Raiders cut bait with Derek Carr? Maybe. I mean, who knows? And NFC, the Cowboys, they got Dak. Washington needs a quarterback, no doubt. Eagles got Jalen Hurts. I think they feel fairly good with him. The Packers are not going to send him in within the division. They ain't going to the Vikings, the Bears, or the Lions. Mm-hmm. He's not. I guess Tampa's got an opening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, would Green Bay trade him to Tampa? I highly doubt it. The Saints don't really have a clear opening here. I mean, they do have a clear opening at quarterback. The Falcons, Matt Ryan, I don't think they're going to cut bait with him. Carolina, you know, they don't have a great quarterback situation. The Rams are good. The Cardinals are good. The 49ers, we talked about. The Seahawks, well, there's an opening there if they trade Russell Wilson. So there's a few options out there. I almost feel like there's a surprise team that'll have some offer out there that we may or may not learn about later on for Aaron Rodgers. I wonder what the price will be. It'll be a lot of money, but how many draft picks will it take to trade to get Aaron Rodgers? At least two first-rounders, won't it?
Oh, at least. He's a two-time MVP. I mean,
right.
Every MVP is worth at least one first-rounder, right?
Yeah, right. I agree.
So maybe if you count all of his MVPs, then four first-rounders, and then...
Wow. Whoever, nah, that's a high price for a 38-year-old guy. I think he's going to be playing in Green
Bay. I think we're talking about a lot of stuff that doesn't even mean
anything. You think he's going to stay in Green Bay?
I think he's going to be in Green Bay. I've thought that the whole time.
Huh. Interesting. A lot of people don't think that. All right, and before we get to Brian Haney, voice of the Jayhawks, do you care? Are you really worried about Major League Baseball not starting their season on time? Are you worried there won't be a season? Are you worried there will be only part of a season? Are you worried about the season not starting on time?
No, I'm not overly worried about any of those scenarios.
Okay. So you're saying you're not a big baseball fan?
Other than the Royals, I I don't need baseball in my life, to be completely honest.
Okay,
with
so
you.
If you're a huge baseball fan, if you're a huge baseball fan, you would be more bothered by this.
Absolutely.
You clearly are not.
Yeah.
Which is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Here's the situation: Major League Baseball. Who, by the way, let's stop with the blaming the players. I'm done with that. People that blame the players on this whole thing are simply people that are uneducated and uninformed and don't know what's going on. This is a lockout. There didn't have to be a lockout. The players wanted to come and play. They were willing to play. They were working on CBA and the whole process. They wanted to go to spring training. The players didn't strike. This is not a strike. This is a lockout. The owners implemented a lockout. Then for the last 2 months, they've come up with really no proposal whatsoever for Major League Baseball to deal with, and then suddenly put together a deadline going, we need to have something done by February 28th, or we're going to have to cancel games. It's like you have this sense of urgency setting a deadline very recently. Where was your urgency the last 2 months? This is Major League Baseball. They're rich, 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 rich owners that are simply locking out the players, and they're not happy with the CBA that it was. The players weren't either. Obviously, they have that in common, and about that's it. And you're sitting here, and anybody that's screaming and yelling at the players, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't. The owners locked out the players. This is not a strike. The owners locked out the players, and now they're the ones setting a deadline and saying, listen, if we don't have something figured out by February 28th, which is 4 or 5 days from now, well then, guess what? Some games are going to be canceled. You know what they also said? We're not paying for games that aren't played, which means the players lose money. Now, you can sit here and go, oh, boo-hoo-hoo, Wade, the players make a lot of money. I'm not too worried about that. That's fine. I get it. The point being, if these billionaire owners need games so bad, and that's what they preached, right? COVID was horrible. We're losing all this money. And now they're willing to give up games because they can't agree with the players and even come up with a halfway decent compromise. The owners have so much money, and they don't want to give up more money, so they're being tight-fisted, and the players want more of the pie, which I don't blame them, and the TV deals continue to go up, whether or not you believe baseball is great or not, but they go up exponentially in regards to the amount of money, and the players are saying, and the Players Association going, listen, we want more competitive balance. We don't want teams tanking, which owners apparently are okay with, and so forth and so on. So don't sit here and blame the players. The players want to play. They're locked out. They're not allowed to play right now. This is all the owners locking them out. It'd be one thing if the players and the owners mutually agreed not to show up at spring training and said, well, we're not doing anything until we agree on a new CBA. But that's not the case at all. So get your facts straight before you start screaming at the players. This is the billionaire owners against, yes, a lot of millionaire players. But not everybody in baseball is a millionaire, by the way, as a player. Not everybody. And they're also fighting the players for minor league players. Mm-hmm. Because Major League Baseball just cut a ton of minor league teams last year during the whole COVID thing. Because, you know, they were losing money. What a crock. And they also... that cost players jobs, that cost people jobs in various places across the country, and now they don't want to take care of minor league players. That's something major league players are trying to make better for the minor league players that still exist. And the other thing, too, is, you know, the Royals were bought for like $90 million. They're worth $1 billion today. Mm-hmm. So don't sit here and tell me, well, you know, the owners, they got this product, but they really don't make a lot of money. Like Rob Manfred said recently, there's no better return for Major League Baseball owners than people in the stock market. That is asinine. That is what that is. That comment is ridiculous because I'm going to tell you something. I don't think tons of, and maybe somebody has. I don't think anybody invested 20 years ago $90 million and have $1 billion today in Wall Street. Okay? Now, maybe somebody has. Maybe they were really astute investors.
That's not a normal.
No, thing. It's not normal.
It might have happened
right.
A few times.
But it's normal.
It's not a normal thing.
But it's normal when in regards to evaluations for teams. Mm-hmm. That it continues to go up and up. Look at the Dallas Cowboys. What are they worth? $2 billion or something? I forgot what the number is. It's insane. Jerry Jones bought them for a lot of money. And he's, that guy's rolling in piles of cash with how much that the Cowboys are going to be worth when he sells or hands it off to his sons or whatever. The Cowboys are the highest priced NFL franchise. So let's not sit here. There was something yesterday. They showed a picture. One of the owners of the Major League Baseball team, I think it was an owner for the Mets, bought a dead shark that's basically in formaldehyde that is preserved for $8 million and has it on display in his house. So don't sit here and tell me that the owners are the ones that are the victims of this. And I know a lot of people out there listening, oh, listen, I don't like either side. They're both at fault. Okay, I'll listen to that. But the bottom line is this was instigated by the owners. They didn't have to lock out anybody. They locked out the players. Now they're coming up with this hard deadline, and they haven't even tried to negotiate anything worth a darn the last 2 months. And one thing about social media that's good for the players is they're getting their message out more so than they used to do back in the day. All right? 1994, that was a strike. There have been lockouts before since 94, believe it or not, although usually they get things figured out in time for the season. So here's the latest. And they've got 4 or 5 days, supposedly, to figure this out. Major League Baseball said yesterday their hardline stance is, if we don't have an agreement by February 28th, games will be canceled, and we're not paying players for those games, which could cost players $100 million. Depending on how many games they miss. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to tighten the screws and force the players to take what they're offering. Right now, here's how far they're away with 5 or 4 days now to get a deal done, according to Major League Baseball. Competitive balance tax, they're $31 million apart. They're not even close. The pre-arbitration bonus pool, they're $95 million apart in their negotiations. The minimum salary, Major League Baseball Players Association wants every player in Major League Baseball that makes it to the big league level to make $775,000 minimum. Major League Baseball says $640,000. We're $135,000 apart. That's significant. In regards to a draft lottery, the owners say 4 picks. The association says 7. And that's a lot to cover in less than a week. That's a lot to cover. Major League Baseball is clear on this point. If there isn't a deal by Monday, games will be canceled. They will not be made up. The season will be less than 162 games, and players will not be paid for a full season no matter what. So this is a hardline stance by the owners, and apparently they're okay with not having games, which means they're a bunch of hypocrites and liars because they're sitting here all so mad. We got to play. We got to play. We got to get fans in the stands, and we got to have games because COVID's wrecking things, and trust me, we're losing money. No, you're not. No. You didn't lose any money you never had. See, they're billionaires. These are not millionaires. These are billionaires, multi-billionaires of Major League Baseball teams. These owners are perfectly fine. They're greedy. And yeah, players are greedy too, no question. But the owners are all about one thing. It's money. And I think players, yes, they care about money. A lot of them do. That might be their one thing. But I do think there are a lot of players that do care about the future of the game in Major League Baseball. And we talked about it before. Is Major League Baseball and baseball a dying sport? I don't know if it's a dying sport, but this, once again, doesn't help their image at all.
No.
And I think it's poor leadership by Major League Baseball. And here we are. Here we are. We don't know if we're going to – like, I've had people ask, are you doing a Royals bus trip? I'd love to. I can't do anything right now.
Yeah.
I can't sell sponsors, can't sell sign-up locations, I can't pick a date, I can't get the word out, let's do a bus trip we haven't done for 2 years, because I don't know if the owners are going to allow them to play.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, it's a lockout. That means, very simply, I know it's hard to comprehend, lockout means the players are locked out. They can't go to spring training, they can't go to the facilities, they got to do stuff on their own, which is fine, they can be in shape, and they'll be ready for a season, the veterans will be, but Major League Baseball, they have not really been serious about trying to get a deal done. Makes you wonder what their motives are.